Well, that's good. That's real good. Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight, and you can stand with me if you're able. Let's go to Psalm chapter 22. And I've got something really on my heart where I left off this morning. Don't know how far we'll get, but we'll just mind the Lord tonight. Psalm chapter number 22, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. David, of course, is the one writing, and he says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my roaring?" He said, "Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Notice verse 4. "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." That's all I'm going to read for tonight for time's sake. But we're going back to this thought. If the Lord will help us for a few moments, I would like to preach to you tonight on the conviction of Calvary. The conviction of Calvary. Please pray for me tonight. Pray with me if you would. Father, we do love you. We thank you, Lord, for what's already been a wonderful time in the house of God. Now, Lord, I don't want to do a thing in the world to mess this up. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, to be a help to your people. I pray, God, for that touch, Lord, and the unction, Lord, that only you can give. God, I cannot do what I'm trying to do on my own. And so, Lord, if you don't help me and enable me and use me, Lord, I have no choice but to take my seat. But, God, if you'd get on me, I'd sure thank you for it, Lord. Speak to hearts as only you can. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name and for his sake, and all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Briefly, if I could, I just want to remind you kind of what I said this morning. And it is here in Psalm chapter 22 where we find the psalmist David, the little shepherd boy, the one that's insignificant and has no value to most men that would have been around him, is now writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. And he's not just writing anything, but the Bible takes us from Psalm chapter 22 all the way down the road to a place called Calvary. We've not read it all for sake of time, but we read it this morning, and if you read your Bible, you know without a shadow of a doubt that it's Psalm chapter number 22 where we see the Lord Jesus Christ dying in our stead, taking our sin, paying our price, and redeeming us from the sin of this world. Can I say tonight that I'm still thankful for Calvary? This morning I went back to verse 1 and 2 and we looked at the withdrawal at Calvary. David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said in verse 2, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Can I say, my friend, it was at Calvary that Jesus was not only forsaken, but ignored. Are you listening tonight? My friend, I believe, as I said this morning, I believe all of heaven was on the edge of their seat. Boy, I believe with all my heart that they were begging God the Father to intervene and to do something, but He knew that here you and I would be 2,000 years later, my friend, and if the Lord Jesus would not have continued a little further and would not have died on the cross, and would not have shed his blood, and would not have went to a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later rose again, we'd all be without hope and help. But he's seen you and me. Ain't you glad? Somebody ought to thank God that he didn't come for the saints. He didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for the whole, but for the sick. I'm telling you, it's good to know that God still loves, still saves, my friend, and still redeems a lost, hell-bound sinner from the error of his way and the error of truth. But thank God, I'm here tonight to remind us of what Calvary ought to mean to each and every one of us as believers. We've seen the withdrawal. God had to withdraw himself from Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And then we left here, and I really want to pick back up here, if God help me. Secondly, we've seen the worship at Calvary. That convicts me. My mind all day, my heart, I've thought about, I don't believe we can really put it into words what all the Lord Jesus endured. We can try, and we know what the Scriptures say, but to wrap our minds around that scene, I personally just don't think we can. I mean, listen, the pictures that we all have seen, and some of y'all may even have them in your home, of a weak and a frail man with little runs and stripes of blood. That is not at all what our Savior looked like. My friend, he was not recognizable as a man, but he was rather a bloody sacrifice. On the cross, at my friend, he bled and died. He was forsaken of his disciples. He was forsaken by his father. He was forsaken by those who were religious, the same ones that were throwing palm branches down in the streets on this day were crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And yet the Lord Jesus continued towards Calvary. And still, David writes these words: "You've not heard my prayers in the daytime, and you've not heard my prayers in the night season." Verse 3, "But thou art holy." Now, the next statement he makes, and this is really where I want to pick up tonight. In verse number 4, the Bible said, "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded." I begin to think about this. Calvary convicts me. The Son of God, in light of Psalm chapter number 22, God, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, has took us to a hill called Calvary through the hand and the heart of the psalmist David. And my friend, we see without a shadow of a doubt that this was Jesus in verse 1 and 2 that cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he didn't hear his cry in verse 3, yet he worships him. In verse 2, yet he worships him in verse 3. But then he takes the time, the Holy Ghost takes the time to pen these words. "There's been others before me. Our fathers." I begin to think about the patriarchs of the Old Testament. I begin to think about Abraham, my friend, how he walked up the hill in Moriah. And the Bible showed him when he had Isaac as his sacrifice and was willing to give up his own son, that God made a promise to Abraham. And he said, "God will provide himself a lamb." Everything about this Bible points to Calvary, and it points to Jesus. As there was a ram caught in a thicket by the horns, my friend, that's the Lamb of God. That's a type, a shadow, a picture of things to come. That the Lamb, the Lamb, not a lamb, John said, the Lamb of God would come, wear a crown of thorns, would redeem us from having to die in our sin. My friend, I begin to think about Moses and the children of Israel, how God heard the cries of Moses when the people would turn on Moses and blame Moses and murmur against Moses. He would simply bow his head, say, "God, I can't help these people." And God would hear and answer his prayers and deliver them after trial, after storm, and trial after trial. I begin to think about Elijah. My friend, Elijah's faced with those 450 false prophets of Baal, and he looked up to heaven and he said, "God, please, Lord, prove these people wrong. God, send fire down from heaven." And God sent fire down on the altar that had been surrounded and covered with 12 barrels of water. My friend, he cried, and the Lord heard, but here's the only begotten Son that cannot not get a prayer through. It's amazing to me, as born again believers, how often we'll get bitter and we'll get stagnant and cold and indifferent. Sometimes even a little mad when we're praying and we're crying. Yet God's not hearing us. Yet God's not answering us in our time. But so and so can come in and God just move in a great way. God just answer a prayer. God just move a mountain. God just save a sinner. God bring their prodigal home. I've come to tell you tonight on this worship, not only are we to worship God for who He is, but if I could, I want to encourage you, even when you look in your life and you say, God's not hearing me. I'm in that withdrawal. You can still worship because of what God has done for those before you and around you tonight. You know what would be a blessing? Is if you would get up and shout and rejoice over Brother Darnell's testimony like he does about his own testimony. Hey, man. When's the last time when somebody got happy it made you happy and you was rejoicing for them? Hey, man. It ought to stir your heart. I know y'all have heard that testimony 5,000 times. But I'm going to tell you something. It's still as sweet to Him. And it's still as sweet to the Lord right now as it was the day He walked up that woman preacher. Amen. Supposedly preacher. And got born again. Hey, listen to me. God still inhabits His praise. You've heard testimony after testimony. And we'll roll our eyes and think, here we go again. But I've come to encourage you. Let us stand up, look around, and say, brother, I'm glad God's doing for you what He's done for you. I'm glad God healed your son. I'm glad God healed your daughter. Mine may be homesick in a bed or in a wheelchair or in some kind of state, but glory to God, rejoice for what God has done for those that have came before us, those that are around us, and what He'll do for those we love down the road in the future. That's amazing to me. He's forsaken, but it takes time to bless the Lord that his forefathers weren't. Amen. Thou art holy, Lord. By the way, thank you for hearing the prayers of my forefathers. I know mine seem to be falling on deaf ears, but Lord, you're still good. They've already sang it tonight as I look back on all of my days so many times in so many ways. All I can say is God, my soul, I want to go further, but this is my burden if I'm honest with you. I wonder how many people here tonight, my friend, you've got over and got past what God has done. I mean, listen to me, I ain't talking to adults. How many of you children, God saved you from the flames of hell. God came by your way. I convicted your heart. Drew you to Himself. Y'all, you kids listening to me, do you remember the day that the burden lifted off when Jesus saved your soul? You might not put down a beer bottle. You might not have thrown down a bag of a crack. You might not have went from a harlot or a drunk to a saint of God. But I'm going to tell you what He did do for you. He rescued your never dying soul from the flames of hell. And for that, boys and girls, when we stand in the choir or sing I Know My Name's There as a congregation, or your preacher gets up and preaches that book, my friend, we ought to say glory be to God. Hallelujah. My friend, when you see your friends get on an altar and God moves in their heart, you ought to stand up and say, bless the Lord that He's helping my brother and He's helping my sister. Hey, I say, let's rejoice tonight. Let's worship God for the things that He has done. We all hit that wall with our prayers for seasons. You feel like you can't get through. Can I tell you what you need to do? You need to find every opportunity to look for somebody else that is getting through. Amen. I know it's as easy preaching hard living, but it's right. You come to church, you're begging God to bring your son or daughter back to Him, and they ain't budging. But so-and-so's son just got right with God. Stand up and shout over their son like you want to over your son. I mean, it helps you. I don't know if you've ever tried this or not, but I think we all, on the count of three, are going to rejoice that God saved Brother Darnell how many years ago in that jail cell, lifted you up and established your going. Hey, neighbor, it helps me to know that one day he's going to get not just sight, but the first thing that man's ever going to see is the Lamb of God. I say we ought to say, bless the Lord. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Amen! Bless His name! I'm telling you, God is worthy of our praise. I rejoice tonight. I rejoice tonight. I remember when this place was just a thought to me. Brother Edwin, I'm telling you, it's so special. I'm almost afraid to talk about it because it's so special. I sat there, and the first time I ever heard that song going through Jesus Rescues Me was on YouTube from the Camden Baptist Church. Now, after I got right with the Lord, you know, the first thing God did for me, opened the door to take over a youth choir. The church I was raised up at, the youth choir leader that was there left, went to another church, and I thought, man, all I know how to do is just barely pick around on a piano. Now, I didn't have no choice. Guess where I got my practice? At the Camden Baptist Church. But I was in Corbin, Kentucky. And the pastor's telling me, you need to come in. We can learn some songs. I'm thinking, but dear God, sir, how am I going to learn anything? And I'd get online. And hear, just like tonight, the loft would fill up. Going through so many changes. Have you watched the news for today? And my heart would overflow. Can I tell you tonight, I was rejoicing for you all then, and I'm rejoicing for you tonight. Hey, there's somebody out there somewhere yonder that you all may never meet on this side of eternity, but God, you are over the unknowns tonight. There's a whole lot of things we can look around and praise God for, but there's more things that we don't see, and we never will till we get on the other side. I say we ought to lift holy hands tonight and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name tonight. When I look at Calvary, it convicts me in my worship. Ain't no man suffered like Jesus did. And he's not only praising God for who he is, he's praising God for what he's done for others that he's not doing for himself. When's the last time? This is just my burden. There's all kinds of other stuff to say, but I might not say it. When's the last time that we worship for somebody else? That's my burden. I mean, I ain't going to lie. That's what's on me tonight. Oh, there's all kinds of other things I can say, but I don't think I'm made to say them. Today's been a learning experience for me. He told me when we got in the truck, he said, preach. That's what he called me. He said, you only preached 30 minutes. He said, the last 15 minutes of that, you was talking and giving the invitation. He said, you never do that. I've never done this either. I said, we was going to continue on, but I ain't getting no further. This is what's on my heart. Worship. When's the last time God got your best effort in worship? Talk about rejoicing. How many are here tonight? And you can raise your hand that you've seen God do big things for someone other than yourself in this church. Wow. I'm going to ask a question. If I'm out of line, you just kick me in the rear. When's the last time that you come in and worship the Lord for those things that you just seen? I'm not talking about what God's doing for me. No. We've made worship so much about us and things and feelings. How many times when we just don't, I've heard this term before. Preacher, I just ain't feeling it today. Won't you shout with the one that is? I ain't feeling it, but he is. Glory to God. Amen. Hey, that's called real worship when you're putting other people and their lives and their blessing over yourselves. I'm telling you, our Savior could not rejoice that God was hearing his prayers because he wasn't. But he looked back and he said, well, I know you heard Abraham and you heard Moses and you heard Noah and you heard Elijah and you heard David and you heard Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea and Joe and Amos and Obadiah and Jonah and Micah and Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Haggai, Zechariah and Malachi, all those Old Testament prophets. Lord, I bless you that you delivered them, even though you're not delivering me. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of your church. Well, if you're not careful, we get the pooch lip syndrome. We tuck our tails. We mope around Brother Cornbread, wherever he's at. Brother, come up to me before church. He said, I just want to let you know, Brother Josh, I'm praying for you, and I sure hope things get better. He said, I'm sorry you're going through the things you're going through. Because I had to share some of that. God made me share that in Waycross. I told things, man, I really thought that I told him, just to be honest. And this is what I told him. I said, Brother Cornbread, I don't want you to feel one bit sorry for me. He said, you know, we all go through things. And I said, but let me tell you something. I said, I shared those things, Brother Cornbread. I said, but listen to me. I have no sad stories. God is still good. That's what I told him. Hey, yes, I'm heavy. But the last I read my Bible, that book still says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. To me, that looks like the truth associated. If you're laboring for God, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Can I say, church, that's the way God intended this thing to be. I don't care what Joe Blow down the road says, I don't care if they're preaching in Houston, Texas. This thing ain't lollipops, rainbows, unicorns, and skittles. This is a life full of struggle. It's a life of persecution. It's a life of suffering. But that's the blessing of the New Testament. And you're never more like Jesus than when you're suffering for his sake. That's when you're most like Jesus. Is when you say, I'm forsaken. You sound just like Jesus does. I'm crying in the day. I'm crying out in the night season. And nothing's changing. Hey, you sound just like Jesus. Somebody ought to lift. I'm talking about, I'm about to throw something. Somebody ought to just rejoice. We've got a misconception of how this thing works. Well, I just feel like God has forsaken me. Now, he's not, and we know that. But can I tell you, just enjoy the moment and try to take it in. That's just a little bitty fraction of how our Savior felt for us. And because of us, rejoice over the things that you don't even count worthy of rejoicing over. Worshiping. I'm convicted when I look at his worship at Calvary. I'm very convicted. Because God's not hearing him, but he's sure thanking him for hearing those before him. God's not delivering him. Hello? I'm hurrying. 20 minutes? Surely. God, that's all right. 20 minutes. Hey, God's not delivering him. Well, I might get in trouble right here, but is anybody needing God to, let's just say, work something out majorly in your life right now? And he's not yet. Anybody? I'm going to lift my hand because I got some big problems. I'm just telling you the truth. So let's just keep them up for a second. Brother Edward, I hope I'm all right. Lift your hand. I got some major issues right now that I really need God to work out. He's not doing it. Anybody? Let's stand with me. Stand to your feet. If you've got your hand up, you're able. Stand to your feet. Stand up. Here's what we're going to do. I'm minding God. Here's what we're going to do. God is not, seem like he's not hearing us, right? Seem like he's just going to let it just go, and he don't really care, and we feel so forsaken. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to thank him. We're just going to say, Lord, I just thank you. Let's lift our hands. Lord, I know that it looks like nothing's going to change for me. It looks like you're not going to deliver me. God, I've prayed so many prayers for prophets, sir. And Lord, I don't think you hear any of them, but I'm going to thank you anyways. I'm going to bless you anyways. I'm going to rejoice anyways. I'm going to be faithful tonight anyways, despite how I feel. We're just like Jesus. Except here's the thing. He really was forsaken. Oh, my soul! It was a reality for him, but it's not a reality to us. It's how we feel. Oh, it's how we feel, Sister Faith. It's how we feel, Sister. It's how we feel. Listen to me. That may be how you feel, but He said in His Word that He'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. He hears your cries. He's well aware of your problem. He sees the end result. He knows the end from the beginning. He's never forsaken, not nor one of us. I'm telling you, glory be to God tonight. We may feel forsaken, but we're not. We may feel alone. Y'all can be seated. Anybody here tonight, just be honest. Feel like God's kind of put you in the corner somewhere. Ain't nobody going to be mad at you. I'll lift my hand. Will that make it easier? Anybody feel like God maybe's just not paying as much attention to you now as He used to be? Come on, somebody. I know I ain't the only one that feels that way. I mean, I prayed prayers and it's like instantaneously, bam. I've been praying since June over one thing. And if I'm honest with you, Brother Lynch, ain't nothing changed. Nothing. Matter of fact, in a lot of ways, preacher, it's gotten worse. But God's been preaching to me through Psalm 22. He really could say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But I've tried to pray it. I can't. You with me? I can't pray that. I've tried it. I heard a story one time of an old prayer warrior. They went behind the house back there, and on all them trees there was peas and a slash and peas. And grandson asked his preacher, Grandpa said, Grandpa, what's all these trees? Why is there peas, slash, pea on all these trees? He said, Son, because I'd come to these trees and I'd try God, and I'd carve a T in that tree. And he said, when God would come through, I'd come back and mark a P that it's been tried. He's been tried once more and proven once more. Hey, you still may be in the first phase. You still may be trying Him, but not one time have any of us ever not been able to go back and put a P on the other side. You can try Him, and He'll always prove Himself more and more and more again tonight. And for that, we ought to worship Him. He's been tried and proven. Tried and proven. We can't believe the lies that the devil wants to tell us. Any of y'all ever get talked to by him pretty rough? I'm telling you, I've been pastoring just long enough to know how this thing worked. Seems like every time God moves in a great and a mighty, a drastic way. I'm telling you, the bigger the blessing, the heavier the burden. I'm burdened tonight, preacher. Come in burdened tonight. Phone calls and text messages today, I'm not one bit happy about. People that I really care about more than they care about themselves. There's a part of me that just says, let it go. Let them go. But the shepherd in me that God put in me, I want to see them go because there's nowhere else for them to go to get what they need from God. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to try Him. He'll prove this thing out just like He always has. Looking at people, young people. Am I okay? I don't want to take too much time. one of these days, I'm a little bit older than y'all, but not a whole lot. It's just going to be me and y'all. You listening to me? If God does not come and get his church, Brother Edward, your pastor's wife, Faith, all these other men, Darnell, ladies, all these other ladies, these faithful ladies right here, very vocal. I love that. You say, come on, choir. She said, yes! It's about time. Let me tell you something. Look at me. Who's 30 and down? Raise your hand. 30 years old and down. Hey, y'all. If the Lord don't come rapture the church, somebody's got to continue this. Somebody's got to carry this. Are you with me? And I'm going to say this while I'm on it. Calvary, Jesus put everybody before himself. Girls, the devil wants you all to turn on one another, devour one another. Boys, he wants you to get jealous of who's getting used more in the church or who's the better preacher or singer. We don't have time for none of that. If God will let me, Sister Faith, then it will take a lot of grace. But if I get to preach, I'm his age, I hope I can spend every day of my ministry trying to encourage the body and help the body, exhort the body, lift up Jesus. I don't want to be a cutthroat. I don't want to be a gunslinger. I don't want to have standards that ain't in the Bible and break fellowship over them. I don't want to do all that because I'm watching what we call quote-unquote old-time religion turn into devouring one another. And all it is ego-driven, pride-filled men that are looking for power. Listen to me, there's no power that dwells in any of us tonight. The only good thing about any of us is at Calvary. We've got to keep our focus on Calvary. I'm not looking to be a superstar. I'm looking to be a servant to tell the world about Calvary. I hope God lets me go places like he has been. I hope he keeps doing it because I have no agenda. I'm not trying to build a name for myself. I'm not trying to get meetings at meetings. I'm trying to pour myself out to make myself a vessel to empty before I come. Let him fill me when I'm here and dump me out, not for my gratification or glory, but that the church will go away saying, my God, we heard the voice of the Lord. That's my determination in this thing. Is to take us to a cross where it's all about him. It's nothing to do with us. Oh, I can walk you through the text. I got other points, but I'm done. When's the last time we worshiped him? Not for what he's done, but for who he is. When's the last time you grabbed somebody and said, let's just go pray and thank God for what he's done for you? You know what you'll find out if you'll live that way? It won't be long. People start coming to you and say, let's go thank God for what he's done for you. If you'll live your lives with Jesus being number one and others being number two, yourself being number three, you'll have joy, joy, joy. Joy unspeakable is what the Bible said, and full of glory. I believe it'd be good again tonight to have an altar and go to Calvary and say, Lord, I want to worship like you did. I want to rejoice not over necessarily what you have done for me, but even the things you haven't. And I'm going to look at others that's gone before me. When I needed delivered, you didn't deliver me. I'm going to rejoice that I worship you that you delivered them. When I feel like my prayers are going nowhere, Lord, I'm going to come thank you for so-and-so's prayers that looks like, boy, they're just right on speed dial. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, and it's going to have nothing to do with me. That's all that's on my heart. That's it. Kids, teenagers, young adults my age, Some of y'all are just a little bit older. We have to love one another. Are you listening to me? I'm preaching my burden because I'm telling you. Brother Dak said the other night, we're fixing to hit. In our, I hate to even say this, in our circle, we're fixing to have to make some hard choices. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going with him. It costs me every friend. I'm not picking sides over preferences. I'm not cutting off God's people that he bought with his own blood because I don't necessarily like or agree or put my approval. This thing ain't about me and it ain't about you. We've got to go to Calvary and rejoice that he shed his blood for a bunch of sinners like you and me. Father, I love you. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand in this place, in this pulpit with these people. Lord, this is very special. And I count it a high honor, Lord, to be here. And I thank you, Lord, for the man of God that stood for all these years. And God, he's raised his family in this place. And Lord, he's watched the devil try to destroy them. But God, he stayed faithful. And Lord, by the grace of God, the three children, the him and Sister Faith, Lord, have brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We thank you tonight that they're still serving you. Oh, God, through tolls and trials and snares and through attacks and strategic planning from the depths of hell, Lord, I can thank you tonight, Lord, that they've prevailed through them. And God, there's more to come, but Lord, they'll prevail through those. And Lord, there's people here that you've heard their prayers and you've delivered them, Lord, and you've done miracles for them. And Lord, you've rescued their siblings and you've rescued their homes and houses. And God, for that, I thank you tonight for what you've done for these people in this place. God, there's needs in my life. There's needs in my church. But tonight I'm thanking you for what you've done for all these other people. This other place, this other preacher. I'm thanking you, Lord, for loving me in spite of me. I thank you, Lord, for Brother Darnell and his testimony. How you saved him. How you changed his life and his direction. You pulled him from hell, Lord, and you established his goings. I thank you, Lord, for Sister Heather. Got up and sang tonight in the power of God. Lord, I thank you for saving her and rescuing her and using her tonight, Lord. Giving her a broken heart and a sweet, solemn, sanctified spirit. Lord, thank you for her heritage, Lord. We thank you for Brother Leroy tonight and the influence that he's had on people all over this world. God, I thank you, Lord, for the Dixons. Lord, I thank you for Ashlyn and Kristen and Jared, Lord, and how you're using them. And God, they're not perfect. And Lord, they've made plenty of mistakes. And God, they don't deserve anything more than I do. But Lord, I thank you for loving them and using them and God providing for them and anointing them, Lord. God, I thank you for the influence and the impact they've had all over America and all over the world. Thank you for them. I thank you for this church, St. Mary's, Georgia. Lord, I thank you. Oh, God, how it's ministered to me. Lord, how it helped me and convicted me and encouraged me, Lord. God, here I stand tonight. I thank you for that. God, I thank you, Lord. Brother Mike Cruz and his family coming over tonight. Lord, I'm so humbled. And I thank you for them, Lord. I pray for little Bree tonight, Lord. Oh, God, Holy Ghost, I pray that you'd wring her heart out. I pray, God, she'd be overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord. I pray, God, she'd find a song, Lord, to sing. I pray, dear God, Lord, she'd love you and she'd serve you, Lord. She'd long for you. And God, that you'd lead her life and lead her, Lord, through these next few years, these teenage years, Lord. They're upon her, God. And Lord, I pray for her tonight, God. Oh, Holy Ghost. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd take her to Calvary. God, that she'd get a new vision, Lord. And God, her sights would be set on the cross like they never have before. I'm praying that, Lord. God, that you do it. We need her, Lord. We need her. We need her, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, for every person. every problem. God, I pray tonight. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the lives of those who are here. God, we're thanking you and trusting you, not only for the things you have done, but the things you will do. God, I want to worship like you did. I want to worship, not based upon my condition, based upon your sovereignty, your faithfulness, not just to me, but to my beloved brethren. I thank you, Lord. Move in the hearts of your people, please. Bless the remainder of this service, the invitation. In Jesus' name.